Greetings, listeners, and welcome to The Story Never Ends, the podcast where we reread our favorite books and watch their adaptations, and sometimes we just watch movies. I am Audrey.
And I'm Tinashe.
And today we'll be talking about the latest MCU release, Doctor Strange, The Multiverse of Madness,
which is technically
Doctor Strange 2. This is going to be me for the most of the review, probably. But anyway, guys, we'll just pretty much get straight into this. A new movie that's just been released. And, you know, I mean, spoiler alert for anyone that's listening to this without having watched the movie. But we're just going to be breaking it down, sharing our thoughts, what we liked, what we didn't like, you know, and all the other things in between. So, yeah, you take it away, Tinashe.
I thought you were going to take it away.
No.
But honestly, I've watched this movie like a week or two ago. No, when it came out on the Sunday though, a few days later. And forgive me if some of my points are like, you know, don't have enough info. But I like the fact that the movie, you know, the title of the movie, Multiverse of Madness, abbreviated to M-O-M, Mom, coming out on Mother's Day. The story is about motherhood and not just, you know, Wanda's Jenny as a mother that started in WandaVision, but also her looking for her children, but also Chavez, America Chavez, also looking for her mothers, or having also lost her mothers when she was very, very young. And it's been something that, you know, she's been on the lookout for the past couple of years that she's been traveling in between universes. So yeah, I like that. Also loved how Wanda shined in this. Honestly, like, out of all the TV shows that we got from Marvel, WandaVision was number one for me. And sorry to my boys, but my boys being Bucky and Sam, but WandaVision really shined. And you can see how things then continue on from then. Wanda, again, having lost Vision again, has now lost her children. And at the end of WandaVision, you think when she moves away and she says she doesn't do those things anymore, those things being holding a whole town prisoner and casting spells to keep them prisoner in this world that she has created for herself to live somewhat happily ever after. So at the end of that, you think, no, she's no longer going to be doing any kind of villainy. Because would you classify as a villain in WandaVision?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Yeah, I can sort of sympathize.
I guess
you can't sympathize with a villain, but she didn't strike me as like a villain in WandaVision. Yeah. I felt like more like someone who's got a lot of power, having made bad decisions, but coming from a good place. Or maybe that's a villain. but anyway, as I was saying, and then you realize that no, Wanda is still, you know, Eastview Wanda. Was it Eastview or Westview? Anyway, Eastview Wanda. She's still using that dark book. What is it called again?
The Darkhold.
Yes, the Darkhold. What we thought was a garden of, you know, apples, flowers, blah, 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 blooming, is actually this wasteland of, you know, what you'd consider evil. And Wanda is just, yeah, she's doing her thing. She's shining. She's got goals. She's a villain I can get behind. And I love it. You want to add anything before I go into depth about Wanda's villainy? Yeah.
Well, I mean, it depends how you want to do this, because I can go off your points and then elaborate my views on your points, or like as in.
Oh, okay. So I'll just say I really loved how utterly ruthless in her goal she was as a villain. The way she killed Charles Xavier in this, and people having gone from cheering, oh, Charles Xavier, X-Men. Apparently, you know what? Going into this, I hadn't watched any spoilers, so I didn't know that we're actually going to get all these cameos from other. I had heard some stuff, but nothing that I had followed through or searched, because I wanted to go in surprise with being surprised by what I was seeing.
Mm.
So seeing Charles Xavier, and then the way she just kills him, like snaps his neck like that, ruthlessly hunting down America Chavez. I think she's like 15, 16 in this or something like that. Considering how she's also wanting to get her children from another universe, and probably taking them from another Wanda's, another Wanda. She's also chasing this child through several universes, and even at the end of the movie, you're still left wondering, is she still a villain or not? Because the only reason she stops herself from going through with her plan is her kids, or the alternate Wanda's kids, viewing her as a villain, the fear on their faces, them crying and trying to protect alternate Wanda. And just, I think, also alternate Wanda's empathy for her situation also kind of helped her realize that the way she was going about this was really not the way that she wants her kids to see her like that. Yeah. So I think that's the only reason she stopped. Whether she's still a villain or not after this, I don't know. But all for Wanda's journey. Yeah.
Mm.
Oh, you know what? Okay. I can sense what's about to happen. Woman is gonna come in and do an Eternals 2.0.
I'm not gonna do an Eternals 2.0.
Points and be like, you know,
I'm not doing an Eternals. Unless you are not set in your views, then it will not be an Eternals view. I mean, Eternals version. All I'm trying to say is, okay, so let me just say overall about the movie, it wasn't bad. Not by any stretch of that imagination was it bad. It wasn't like Eternals.
It wasn't bad.
It wasn't Wonder Woman 1984. But, and it was funny, right? But it just dragged for me. There was a time when I was like so a bit into it, then something happened, and I'll tell you what it is before. I don't want to confuse the flow of the conversation, because I want to touch on your two points about the motherhood storyline in Wanda, I suppose.
Yeah.
But it just dragged after a while. Just plots, threads. I don't even think it's necessarily plot threads. It was more, I remember I listened to a video recently where the guy was saying movies these days are more just vibes. As in, you should now lean into enjoying movies more as just vibes rather than for the plot, for the plot. And I kind of agree. And I think that is probably what would have gotten me to say I enjoyed the movie, because I was laughing at points that probably were not meant to be laughed at, like some of the points you're highlighting about motherhood and the boys and everything. I was just cackling. I was like, what the heck is going on? Anyway, but that's because it was just a vibe. And the reason I'm gonna get to the point of why I'm saying. So I think for me, I wouldn't pitch it high enough on the Marvel MCU scale, like a rewatchability level, I guess, if we're going to measure it. Is that not so much about what I would rate it out of a certain percentage, but in terms of rewatchability, and obviously I'm talking in terms of if you think of like a Winter Soldier, I rewatched the Winter Soldier offhand without having needing to watch, because I enjoy that movie. I don't think this one I would go back into. I think also I didn't care enough for the story. And when you touched on the fact that motherhood was playing into it, I get that. And someone, I remember a reviewer mentioned the same thing, that you could see where they were trying to go with the parallels of America having lost her mother and Wanda having, I guess, lost her children. But that went nowhere for me. I didn't feel that those two storylines converged enough, because what I would have thought might have happened, and mind you, I didn't go in knowing what would happen in this story, but I'm just sort of taking it from the perspective of me looking at the story and wanting to enjoy the themes or whatever in it. And if motherhood was one of the themes, yes, it leaned more into Wanda as a character, but I don't see how it then related to America as well, because yes, she lost her mothers, but I would have thought Wanda, to sort of make the story cyclical. No, I know Wanda wanted her power, but I'm saying, as in, you would have thought then Wanda would be drawn back by the fact that this is also a child that lost her mother and her mothers. I keep forgetting their mothers that she lost. That lost her mothers. So something like that might be a plot thread that draws her back, rather than just, I don't know, whatever happened towards the end. By that time, I was just like, yeah, let this movie just kind of come to a wrap kind of thing. It was just...
But let's think about Wanda, how she was in WandaVision, right?
Wait. Before you go on, I just need to say what I need to say. Otherwise, I'll then forget your points. Okay. Because I was also going to say, the WandaVision of it all Wanda as a character, I should say. First of all, I don't really care for Wanda. I'm sorry, I'm one of the minorities that just don't have any care for that character. So I was very surprised when she comes into the story and then she becomes this big part of the story. I was like, oh no, okay, this is interesting. But I was willing to go with it because I'd watched WandaVision.
Even after and WandaVision?
That's the thing, Wanda and Vision as characters, I've never particularly cared for in the MCU, right? But when I saw the story, it was interesting. But I never thought they would do much more with her character than they had done in the story. Because already in the story, it was pretty tragic. It was pretty sad. I was into it for the time. And unlike you, I don't think it was my favorite, like, MCU TV show. I preferred Loki, but that's because I like Loki. So that's just me. But I was also saying that's because the Wanda and Vision element of, like, the romance and everything, I never bought into it. So it became really difficult for me to jump from me not caring to me really caring, but they got me to at least be interested, if that makes sense, because I was like, oh, this is very cool. If especially, I think I was more interested in the fact that she was using this medium of like TV, and there was the connection that they were like, when they were stranded back in whatever, so, you know, geez, whatever the made up city that they made up,
you or something like that.
I mean, in terms of when they were in Russia, like when they were in
Sokovia,
that one, like when they were there, they were watching TV shows, so that was the reason why she like sort of made Eastview or Westview a TV show type setup or whatever, that she could hide her mind in and whatever. So I was interested in that. But then for her to come in as being the villain of this story, I don't, to be honest with you, I'm still, I think, processing Doctor Strange, because where the Doctor Strange of it all, I didn't get it. I don't get where Doctor Strange fits into the story of Doctor Strange. I was just so taken out of the story because everything that was happening was about Wanda. And yes, America was in it.
To some degree, I do agree with you with the Doctor Strange element. Like, he should have played, the story should really have been revolving around him mainly.
I mean,
rather than the Wanda element. But that Doctor Strange was playing the hero in this one. Wanda was the villain.
No, but I get that, but I didn't even think he was the hero, because Wanda's story wasn't even a villain story per se. It was more tragic in the sense that she wanted her kids. So it was kind of like,
what she was doing wasn't villainy to you?
No, it was. I think it's more anti-hero rather than villainy for me, because I'm thinking she's a villain in the story. Yes, but she's a villain that came out of a really weird element, because it's like how they took Loki being a bad guy and sort of made him sympathetic. To me, Wanda is not someone that's like a Thanos that's like out here, you know. His agenda from day one has been to kill. Yeah, she's converted onto this because of grief and all that. That's what I'm saying. She's not pure. If I'm thinking of pure villain, just literally Voldemort, just want to kill people. Wanda is more a tragic, I guess, villain in that sense, because she's motivated by this thing that she calls love, but it's also grief manifesting as that. And it's just, anyway, I don't want to get too much into that. I just wanted to sort of touch on the fact, George, and I don't want you to agree with me or anything. I'm just showing you when I was in the movie looking at it. I don't want you to, because this is not like an argument. I don't want you to agree. I'm just sort of analyzing my own thoughts about the movie. I didn't necessarily think it was the greatest it could have been, because there were so many things that I just saw missing or I wanted more of and I didn't get. And also even the fact, George, when you said she killed Professor X, Wanda was so overpowered for me that I didn't even see the point of having that Illuminati confrontation, because I was like, at least give us one villain, I mean, one villain, one of those Illuminati people that might put up a fight enough for us to be like, okay, she's not just going to get through them. Like, it was literally like, Captain America, snap. Whatever, Captain Marvel, go. Captain Marvel is supposed to be the most powerful villain.
I know. That's the point I made. It's on my dislikes. In one part, I was happy that the fight did last that long. But I'm like, really, is this Game of Thrones 2.0? She kills her with a freaking statue, some brick and mortar and concrete. And Captain Marvel is this super-powered being. Like, they just didn't make her kill Thanos, but I feel like she could have killed Thanos on her own. Yeah. But
in that sense,
I definitely agree with you there. I didn't understand how
that kind of, and I know we're jumping sort of around because we're not going by plot point, but I think to just cap off my point, the theme of the movie, if you were to ask me what is Doctor Strange's theme about, I could not pick a theme for you. I don't know, because I, when maybe I've reflected back and I listened to reviews and stuff, the vibe of it was a lot of things, but I didn't get the theme that I would probably say. Okay, let's say if I compare to Winter Soldier, I know, you know, that was corporate, not corporate espionage. That was about like whatever the spy element of like Hydra and an organization that is got been given too much power coming in, infiltrating, all that stuff. Like I can get those themes of, you know, espionage and whatnot in there. But with this story and the excitement of it being about sorcery, because, you know, this wasn't just like superheroes, like, you know, being powerful or whatever. It was like sorcery being the element. And I enjoyed that. Like Sam Raimi as a director, I really enjoy his infusion into this, I guess, universe, because like Taika Waititi or whatever, he put his own little brand on the movie, and I enjoyed that. I'm not saying that's bad, but I just didn't enjoy enough of the story. And that probably might have been a bit more corporate, you know, leaning, coming in, maybe trying to push some agendas, like, you know, my cameos, like, oh my God, I just spoke in Shona for like a long stretch of time. But anyway, all these cameos that happened, maybe you can sense a bit of like, oh, okay, let's be trying out this character. I'm sure you know which character I'm talking about. If you're thinking of the cameos that happened, not cameos, well, the character drops that happened.
Same character, like, you can say.
Captain Marvel.
Captain America.
No. I was talking about John Krasinski coming in as Fantastic Four, Mr. Fantastic. Sorry, because there've been a lot of fan speculations about him being a good one, but then also a lot of people saying that that's Marvel sort of screen testing him and all that stuff. So yeah, there's all that element coming in, and it could have been an organic, you know, casting, that's fine, whatever. But I just feel like it was a mishmash of things, and I didn't end up enjoying it as much, in the sense that I was, if I like literally say, the moment they said Illuminati, first of all, it took me out, because I don't know if you remember, there was a time when black people
were like, I'm like, what? I actually went, what?
So without going on and around, I'll let you take over the reins again and talk. But things like that, they took me out, because I'm not a comic fan anyway, like that. So I didn't know that there was an Illuminati in the Marvel universe. That's fine. But even the structure of it, it was just so funny. Like, and then the battle. And then there were moments when I was laughing with Hope, my sister, Hopeful, when I was laughing with her, and we could tell these were not moments to laugh, but we were just like, what? Like, by the end, we were just cackling. Like, we were just having a blast. But I couldn't take the movie seriously enough for maybe the moments it wanted to be serious. But I don't think it was trying to be serious. But I think the moments where it probably was trying to have like a moment of gravitas, we were just like, and then the ghost at the end, and the second Doctor Strange, who was like a corpse or whatever, like all those, I was just dying.
Hey, please, like, I have that here in my
anyway, like, you go. I get
why they use zombie Doctor Strange, right? Because no one could get past that whatever point they say on the mountain, right? But that scene, just when he was absorbing the zombies, it just yanked me out of the movie, and I was laughing. I think the zombie cape was awesome, but just for aesthetic purposes. But otherwise, the whole thing was hilarious. The fight, the zombiness of it. I'm like, am I in the funny version of The Walking Dead? Definitely for me that, yeah. And whilst in my dislike, also I did not enjoy the music score. The music really yanked me out of the movie, because I'm like, what is this music? Because it felt like, as I said, Guardians of the Galaxy. And that music works for Guardians of the Galaxy. Mm-hmm. It even works for, what you call it, that Thor movie, Ragnarok. And that was a different kind of movie. So I didn't understand it with the way that this movie was being portrayed. Because it felt like, not dark, but angsty-like. So I experienced different kind of music. But anyway, the scene with the, when they're fighting with the
music notes. I love that though. That was funny as hell. Like, what? That's what I'm saying. I loved moments that were not supposed to be necessarily funny. Like, they were just too stupid. I was like, okay.
It was cartoonish. I don't know what it was. I did not enjoy that scene at all. And then after, when you're talking about inappropriate laughter, I actually, like, when Doctor the Sinister Strange dies, like, so he's pushed out of the window and he falls to the iron gates or whatever, and he's impaled on that.
Yeah.
I went, then I giggled. And then coincidentally, A couple walked out of the movie. I think they'd had enough.
I'm telling you, I'm not even blaming those people for walking out of the movie. It was just...
I was kind of surprised, though. I'm like, you've watched this far, so just, you know, finish it.
I mean, well, they could have had their own reasons. Maybe they just need to get a toilet break really quickly, and then they never came back. I think, interestingly, yeah, like I said, I didn't care much about the love, the mid-love, the music scene. I actually would probably say I was more surprised a bit at... Because I was one of those people that had not actually watched the individual Doctor Strange movie before, like when it came out initially.
I only watched it recently.
So it was like fresh. Yeah, I have watched it. And it was fresh in my mind about the fact that him and, is it Christina Palmer, Rachel McAdams' character?
Christine.
You know, in this, like, there will never be kind of relationship. Like, they might have been, but somehow the universe just keeps them apart. So, even though they were still leaning into that in this one, I just, to be honest, even in the first, I was just like, okay. Like, because I thought, because I watched What If first, I thought the Christine Palmer element was much bigger in Doctor Strange, like first one.
It's actually better in What If.
Yeah. And then I was like, oh, so that's not even what happens in What If. And then coming to Doctor Strange 2, I didn't expect her to be an element in this, because I was like, but it was made clear in Doctor Strange 1 that there's nothing really. So, yeah, I know it comes in terms of like, she's a variant in another universe, so in some ways they might never ever be able to be together. But yeah, I just don't, I think
it's
really
more about what could have happened kind of couple.
Yeah, but
again, like you, I haven't not unlike you now. I have not watched Doctor Strange since the first time I actually watched it, and I don't know how long ago, and I actually did not enjoy Doctor Strange in that one, and I actually got to enjoy and like Doctor Strange's character from Infinity War, so I haven't gone back to watch that one, which I probably should have. So that,
yeah, he's definitely got the growth.
To see Christine in our Earth, the Earth 616, is it? I thought she died.
But I think that's the thing. I feel like because of What If as well, we thought maybe our mindsets were now like confused by What If.
I'm like, who's getting married? Why is she getting married?
Yeah, but she was still alive. I think I remember she was still alive in Doctor Strange. Yeah, she was definitely still alive. But I think What If played on the element of death. And so it, like, as in, it played on the element that instead of what's his name, Doctor Strange being the one that gets into the accident, she does. So then somehow that also made me think that she had an accident, and then I was like, oh, okay, no, that's not the case. it was really weird. But America Chavez's character, great addition to the story. I'm actually interested to know what they might do with her. But like someone was saying, a reviewer was saying, they tried to go sort of like over there, like to try to push the story over there. But
I love how you're pointing.
Yes,
over there.
I am pointing over there. But if you think about it, I went into this story thinking, oh, multiverse, whatever happened in Doctor, you know, in Spider-Man 3 might lean into this story, as in the way that universe was sort of opening up. Remember when he's like fighting to get the spell or whatever? I don't know. I thought maybe those were the repercussions. So initially when those monsters were coming in, I was thinking, oh, okay, we're going. So then that's why I'm saying Wanda was such a unexpected villain. It just came out of nowhere for me for her to be an element in this story.
I want to address that part.
I don't know.
Because I don't think you watched WandaVision.
No, I watched WandaVision, but I didn't expect WandaVision's story to come here. That's the thing.
I can't remember if it's the penultimate episode or the very last episode. She does get a glimpse into the multiverse. And then she has that book at the end from the other witch.
But you see what I mean, though, is there's this over-reliance on us having watched WandaVision. I'm like, I don't need to watch WandaVision to get what's going on, but that's what I needed to have done, because I didn't get what was going on. I was like, wait, where is Wanda coming from? And the problem is exposition sometimes kills the story, because I'm now catching up and you're exposing to me and I am just figuring out what the heck is going on. So I get lost in like the story. I'm just sort of thinking as like a viewer that just goes to the movie and watches this without any Marvel interest.
I think I agree with you only in terms of that. For the people who maybe do not own Disney Plus or do not have access to Disney Plus or do not care to watch the TV show, they will go into this movie and be like, I watched maybe they might read on Wikipedia or something like that, but they'll go from Infinity War, Endgame.
Endgame
Wanda to then this Wanda, and there is a disconnect, definitely. I agree with that.
Yeah.
But for me, for someone who's watched Endgame, WandaVision, and this, for me, it wasn't a leap.
Okay.
It wasn't a leap to see how they then connected these two characters.
That's okay.
I can see how it can happen, definitely. But the part that you said as well about Spider-Man, yes, the repercussions of that. Apparently, I actually missed it. I think I missed it in the movie because apparently it is actually mentioned, like, you know, they talk about Spider-Man being knowing, like, there's a guy called Spider-Man who rescues people, but they don't know him as Tom Holland.
You mean as Peter Parker? Yep, it's Tom Holland. Tom Holland, the spider, the friendly neighborhood spider. Yeah.
Yeah. But
you see, that's the thing. I don't want to
myself. I said that's a confident.
Yeah, you were very, very confident. Very. No, it's not bad. At least it's not a Lucy Hale, you know. for those that want to know why, listen to our podcast
on Bridgerton. Podcast, yes. But yeah,
I have to be clear. I'm not trying to nitpick this movie and say it was bad or anything. I'm just sort of saying it didn't fulfill what it probably meant to fulfill. And I don't know what it meant to fulfill, but I just didn't feel fulfilled as a viewer. I just left sort of thinking, okay, that was different, but then also there were some things that I just think, and they're not so much tied to the Wanda element, because as you said, because I watched Wanda a while back and I probably didn't pay too much attention towards the end, I missed that element. So I appreciate that I missed that, and that probably was where the confusion came in. So it's not so much the Wanda element, but yeah, just a few things. And I think you're right, we should have probably rewatched this movie to sort of get a bit more of a sense. But I suppose now I want to go into
come out on, because I do kind of get your point about the rewatchability of it, because even when I was saying to you, do you want to rewatch this movie, I was kind of like, I enjoyed it more than you did, definitely.
No, yes. I enjoyed it, but I enjoyed it for the wrong reasons.
But not enough for me to go back. I didn't actually think going back to it, but then I was like, that's money.
I wouldn't have paid
for like it on Prime if it was on Prime. But again, it was that thing of, yeah. So I'll wait for it to come out in July. But the watchability, that some scenes kind of dragged, but honestly, I did enjoy.
No, that's good. I was going to say, I think for me, to sort of move from the element of like nitpicking things, I'm just going to highlight some of the cameo things that I said before with the... No, I don't know why I keep calling them cameos. They're just multiverse variants of characters we know, but they're different in this universe. Definitely for me, the highlight was when John Krasinski came on screen. I was like, oh my God! Because I love John Krasinski as an actor, person.
Was he a fan cast for you for this role?
Not particularly. I didn't care much about Fantastic Four enough to think who should be what. Okay. Because I've watched Fantastic Four and I loved the one with Chris Evans in it back in the day. That was good. I didn't enjoy the one with Miles Teller, but I thought the casting was good. They could have been a good cast, but the movie was terrible. So I didn't so much think about it, but I had heard things, you know, in the internet sphere about it, but I'd never thought much about him as a Mr. Fantastic. But when he came on screen, I was just like, oh my God, okay, this is cool. So I was more excited, I think, maybe because it's John Krasinski, more so than thinking he's Mr. Fantastic suitability, which is kind of bad to say. But a lot of people have now come out and sort of said, would he be good? And I've seen both sides sort of saying, you know, he would be, he wouldn't be. And I see where they might lie, but I think it's too early to judge whether he'd be a good Mr. Fantastic, because this was like a 2-second, you know, role kind of thing. Like,
those are my thoughts with Charlize Theron at the end too.
Oh yeah, I don't know, who is she? Like, what does she?
So apparently she is Clea. She is the daughter of was it Dormammu or something like that? And we met Dormammu in the first Doctor Strange.
Okay.
And she is actually in the comics, she's the wife of Doctor Strange.
Okay, interesting.
So for me, I love Charlize Theron. Mm. Like, I've watched so many movies from Mad Max to the recent one here. I've seen so many movies of hers, but I just didn't feel her for the Marvel Universe. It just didn't. I don't know if it was the way she looked. She just looked, I don't know.
Mm. I mean, I don't know. I didn't pay. By that time, I was just like, okay, I don't know what's going on. But cool.
Yeah.
Especially honestly, with the third eye thing. I was like,
someone like Emilia Clarke or Catherine Winnicke, and that's more so because they've just got blonde hair and they look. But anyway, we'll just see what she's like when she properly comes into the universe.
Another thing that I've sort of maybe might have been affecting me is like, I'm still so attached to the Captain America of it all, Iron Man. Even Thor, to a certain extent. Thor, even before he was Ragnarok Thor, to be honest with you. Because I feel like, as much as Taika Waititi came and gave his brand, the Thor that came off that Ragnarok, I can't really connect to that Thor. I don't know. I don't know what happened when Ragnarok happened, and then he came with the gut and everything. I was just like, I don't know. They were leaning into the comedy, but it just went too far for me. So I just didn't get that. But either way, the Avengers, the original cast of the Avengers, and then also bringing on the Black Panther and everything into it. I'm still so connected to them that I think I'm still dealing with trying to absorb these new stories, but then I'm still finding that these new stories are coming in with this, what can I say? Because I feel like Spider-Man was like the last one that we got where we had like original, like a story that was tied to the original, like one sort of strongly. I mean, yes, this one is tied
to the storyline that we've had in phase one, phase two.
We're
now into phase four.
And I'm not saying this is a bad shift because it's too early. Doctor Strange, I think, is the first one post that Spider-Man era of those movies sort of closing off. But I think what I would want to see going forward is less of this. What do you call it? Like reliance on like callbacks and all this stuff, like too much, as in they should go for original stories, but still give us what we like for what we'd like in Marvel, but also make good story, like just good story. Like I just want a good story when I go and watch a superhero movie. I don't want a story that needs me to be like, why is that missing? Or why is that not there? Because this is a superhero movie. It's not a bloody political thriller or psychological thriller, whatever they call it. It's just a fun superhero movie. But I felt like in Doctor Strange I was just questioning so much and wondering why choices you were made. Like no, say it please. I just was going back, off on a tangent.
Back to your first point about how it's taking us a little while to get used to this, to phase four. And I'm sorry to whatever comic book fans or proper Marvel movie who be like, no, it's not phase four. It is something else, or phase five. But no, I'm just saying to this phase that they're doing now, I think even from Eternals, it's getting used to new characters. It's getting used to new storylines. And you're kind of questioning, like, that part doesn't make sense. Where were these people during when Thanos was here? Kind of. So it's going to take a while for us to absorb. And you're also, I think, having things like WandaVision, Bucky and Sam, Loki, kind of has you kind of still attached to those characters. So when you see these new movies, you're looking for those characters.
That is very true.
Where they're not even.
That is true.
But speaking to, you said the genres that they're inputting into this show, into these movies and whatnot. Honestly, I kind of enjoyed the soft horror elements.
I wasn't talking about in terms of the genre being different, because I appreciate, because that's why for me Winter Soldier remains my favorite Marvel movie, because it wasn't like everything else. It was just I keep saying psychological and political different. It was this espionage spy blah 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 blah, leaning into all those elements, and it was still an action movie through and through. I'm not so much talking about that. When I talk about like the elements of Marvel, I think there was a way when they did the build up from phase two, because phase one was a bit, you know, they were still experimenting. Iron Man, Thor, Captain America, they all just come out as experiments. But after that, you really kind of got the sense that, and I think that's because I've recently just rewatched those movies, like when I was doing that rewatch of most of them, but you just got the sense that there was like a thread pulling through all of them coming to something. And I know it's a bit too early to judge, because I think Doctor Strange is the first one that's a post Endgame movie that's come out, that's an actual Marvel hero, not I guess because Spider-Man, because the Sony thing, I don't know, it's a bit weird. It makes that character a bit different to define. But Eternals was its own thing. We can't really count it. So I think it's not so much the themes or the genre or anything, because I definitely enjoyed the... I was like, this movie is way scarier than I expected. I actually thought of you. I was like, is she going to be okay watching this by herself? But... it's more so just that, like, I want to see how the thread gets pulled through. Because even right now, when I think, how is the thread? Is it going to be Miss whatever? Is it America Chavez is a Miss America? I'm not sure what her character hero name is, but is she going to have a TV show or a movie? Because if she has a TV show, then that means she's gone off into her own little universe.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Because someone who relies on, it's what you're saying, like, you could just watch the movies and we didn't have TV shows that we have now. You could just watch the movies and understand, like, right now you can watch the movies in chronological order and you understand how the story is being, as you're saying, the thread of the story. Yeah, that where we are heading, we're heading towards this battle with Thanos. This story is being threaded, but now it's kind of, what is our big bad? What are we heading towards? To what is happening?
Because so we even don't, someone we're said...
stuck, we're stuck in, like, for the people maybe who watched Iron Man at the beginning.
Yeah.
Like, we don't know what's happening, how everything is going to connect. Yeah.
But even then, obviously, you have to give the benefit... Well, I mean, the fact that Iron Man at the time, they didn't even know how far they'll take it, but it just happened to unravel. But now they have the liberty of saying, we know where we can take it. And someone was even saying, what about the element of the Watcher from the What If? Like...
I like that.
Where is that? Because in Doctor Strange is where it would have been perfect to introduce that element, because then we can say, we're building up to something. So what is that something? I don't know.
And it's, I think the person who voices the Watcher, I've always wanted him in Marvel. I don't know if he's already in Marvel. What's his name? Jeffrey Wright?
Yeah.
He's a guy who was in Hunger Games. Batman. Yeah.
I love how you call him in the Hunger Games. What about the Batman girl, the one that you recently watched?
Oh my god, have we not discussed Batman either?
No, we hadn't.
Not discussed Batman.
I know. We have to get on to
yes that. In Batman, in the Batman too. Yes. Yep.
But yeah, I don't know. I to be honest, we can I don't know if you had any more, read, because you've touched on
that. I saw the horror elements, as I said, like, especially when the one that in the picture frame turned her head. I'm like, hey, I'm not a horror movie watcher.
Well, what scene was this?
When she's connecting to alternate Wanda and she's jumping into her body.
Oh,
or
okay.
Beam walking or whatever they call it. And she is, I don't know, approaching her or whatever artistic filming decision they made there.
Okay.
And I do say I did enjoy Doctor Strange's character too. His grasp and use of magic, him playing against Wanda. Apparently, in the world of crack shipping, that scene before the battle at Kamatage, which I had to look up, when they're floating in the air and bargaining or attempting to bargain or issue ultimatums, apparently some people got feels from that. Crack shipping is strange, like.
Feels from what? From as in Doctor Strange and Wanda?
When they're floating in the air together. I don't know. I don't understand it. Even I, who's a crack shipping queen, do not understand it.
I mean, I did like apparently she's from Wakanda, the witch that then, the sorcerer that then stabs the Darkhold book that Wanda is using. Apparently she's from Wakanda. Someone said, I don't know if they say she's from Wakanda because she's black, or they say she's from Wakanda because she's from Wakanda.
Because there are three, what you call them, sanctums or whatever. One is in Asia.
But I don't so much think that means the people that go and practice are from Asia or from New York.
You're right.
I mean, because Doctor Strange had to go all the way to...
You're right.
I'm just saying, that's what he said, the person that I was reviewing. I don't know how true that is, but if it is, then that's cool. But you don't kind of get...
because she's black?
That's what I'm trying to say. Because, okay, I guess this... Oh, so you go. You hadn't finished, because I had a question about what comes next.
Doctor Strange finally getting closure with alternate Christine. Doctor Strange being sympathetic and not just talking... No, taking Chavez's power like his other counterpart they started to at the beginning, and also considering the events of Spider-Man No Way Home, when he realized the consequences of, you know, having let want to say Tom Felton.
Peter Parker, Tom Holland.
I don't know what's wrong with me. Peter Parker, having made all those decisions that broke the universe. But in saying all this, right, I realized, like, I think I wanted more for Doctor Strange. Like, the way they told the story, I feel like he was almost playing like a secondary role to Wanda's villainy character. And I was listening to, what you call it, Ned Soup just before this, and they were saying that it's what happened in this movie is when the villain becomes bigger than the hero, like, you know, yeah, and just takes over the movie. Yeah. But yeah, and in terms of likes or kind of likes, that's what I have. Did you want to add something? I've got a dislike that, or more like a hate, like I hated that second post credit scene.
I loved it because everyone in the cinema was just sitting there, and then
I was so,
the cinema attendants weren't telling anyone anything, and then the scene happened, and then people were just like, oh, okay, and then we just all walked out. It was funny. No one in my cinema left thinking it was going to be something, and then yeah, it ended up being nothing.
So the first post credit scene was good. I didn't understand it because I had to Google who that was, but it was relevant to the ongoing story. The second post credit scene, do you know how long those end credits were? I feel like they were just 3 to 5 minutes long. And I sat there because I knew it was going to happen. And you said there was another credit scene, and had you said it was funny?
No, I just said you have to be there. You have to experience it.
I hate you.
And you know, like, I know you might say you hate me, but do you know what I think it is? I think it's good. I think sometimes they don't need to give us a post credit scene. Because that's why they said it's over. Like, and it is over. Like, you don't, there's no more for you to be there for. But we're so used to this whole idea of like, there's going to be more after the story. Like, the story should just cap off when the credits roll. Like,
they were mocking their audience.
Not so much. They could have been, they might not have been, but I honestly think.
I saw that guy punching himself and then stopping. And I'm like, no, there should be something else. Maybe there's someone who appears during that. No, and it just finishes. Like, I let out this my Azuka, if you remember here from my movie.
Yes, I do.
Strong. Like, I don't know what they call it. I don't know what they call it, but I was so, I was so upset. And the cinema staff, like one of them was behind me watching, right? Almost like in, these people don't know, like,
yep, nothing. Yep.
I did that, right? And my Africanism and her white Australianism, right, understood each other. Like, she's like, yeah. I'm like, seriously? She's like, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I hate you for that. Like,
I'm sorry, to be honest, I couldn't. Because the thing is, right, if I just said it's nothing, you wouldn't have gotten the full experience of what everyone else who went to see Doctor Strange got, which
was. Oh, I see what this was.
No. It wasn't a revenge because I couldn't. If I told you, oh, by the end, you probably would have been still curious and been like, oh, okay, I just want to see what you... So you probably would have stayed, I'm sure.
No, but that would have been on me. That would have been on damn me.
No, but this was, I wasn't... I think you're trying to say I should have told you so that I could save you. But I don't think I was saving you or not sparing you from anything because it was part of the movie. That was the joke of the creators in the movie. So I don't know. Like, as much as you hated it...
refusing to acknowledge,
I can't say, because you also said, don't tell me anything. So I was honoring the fact that I wasn't going to tell you any spoiler, because it would have spoiled, like, you would have gone in sort of saying, oh, the second credit scene, so when the guy punches himself, because the joke is that when that guy starts punching himself, it's nothing initially, because it's like, okay, random joke, and then it happens to be at the end, and then it is what
it
is.
It wasn't funny. I didn't laugh.
I didn't laugh at that point either, but I'm just sort of saying, as in, that's what they wanted you to experience, so... I'm not going to take any ownership for what you said, because that's the thing, right? We've become caught up, like, when Batman ends, and whatever, most of the, what do you call them? DC movies end. I don't think they really have post credit scenes, it just end. I kind of have an appreciation for that, because this whole idea of like we're creating plot threads from post-credit scenes doesn't always work. Because I remember even Doctor Strange, because I watched it so recently, the Mordo guy who's played by Chiwetel Ejiofor, whatever, he at the end of Doctor Strange as a post-credit scene has turned away from Talamahajat something.
Wait, I have it here somewhere.
He says, oh, I don't want you guys to, I don't want to be working with you guys because it's not natural law. So the initial post-credit scene in Doctor Strange, I can't actually remember what it's about, but I think it's something to do with the Sanctum. And then the Mordo scene comes in where he's going to the, you know how when Doctor Strange is initially going on his journey, he finds out there's a guy who got healed from like a spinal injury. And he approaches him and he's the one that tells him, yeah, you can go to this place, but blah, 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 blah. So technically this guy also was sort of using powers to be able to stand up and all that stuff. He just wasn't like using them for, you know, superhero-ness or villainy. So this guy then goes to that, to Mordo goes to that guy and takes his power. And you think, okay, that's a turn for the villainy thing. But then in Doctor Strange 2, that plot thread gets dropped because the Mordo that comes in there is not really the Mordo from that universe. No, he's a different... So I was like, what? And that's the problem. I just watched Doctor Strange 1 to sort of think, oh, that might be a payoff in this, but it wasn't. So if I was to say who I was expecting to be a villain... Maybe this guy, because that's what they connected with that. But the problem with Marvel is because now we've got this whole, oh, we've got to connect, we've got to connect. Wanda's story now comes into Doctor Strange's story, but she could have just had her own movie. She could have just had a Scarlet Witch
true.
Movie.
That is true,
doing her own thing, trying to find her babies, doing whatever. And then Doctor Strange could have had his story. Like, the two, in like, America Chavez could have still come into the Scarlet Witch movie. But it's a separate story.
Like he did
Strange.
In No Way Home. Like he wasn't like a major feature in it. He was too, you know, it was too Spider-Man's movie. Doctor Strange was kind of there. But it, this one felt like it was Wanda's movie.
And Doctor Strange was kind of there. And I think that's for me what I took away. Saying, I went in thinking I'm going to watch the Doctor Strange movie and get whatever Doctor Strange moviness I wanted to get. Don't know what I was expecting, to be honest, but I just wasn't expecting that. And that there lies my sort of takeaway to say, could have been a great movie had I not gone in expecting something. That's the problem with expectation, obviously. If your expectations are not met, you're going to be disappointed. But then also, there are times when you reconcile that you what you're expecting is not what you got and you enjoy the experience. But that's not what happened here. Like, I just did not enjoy the experience enough to be like, I'm going to rewatch it. It was funny, but sometimes not at points where it was meant to be funny. And it had weird elements, points where it just didn't need to have weird elements, and the story could have just been linear, but there were so many elements going on with the America thing, with the, and now I'm thinking, oh, so does America get her mom? Does she go back to go back? Like, but that just doesn't go anywhere. It might be in a TV show someday, who knows? And then the, like, Wong's character and some jokes that were going on there, I'm just, oh gosh, too much. So anyway, I think I am done with my analysis.
For me, just lastly, just one last point. It's a question to you too. Like, were you surprised that the that alternate Wanda had magic? Because at first it didn't seem like she did have magic. Like, she couldn't fight off the other Wanda. And then when, after that scene when they're in the tunnel and they're running away from Wanda, and what happens there? And then they get to something or something, and
the Book of Light or something like that.
And then our Wanda vacates alternate Wanda's body, and that alternate Wanda flies off. And I'm like, she had powers all this time.
But I think the problem with that is Wanda from Earth had the Darkhold, so either way she was way more powerful than the Wanda from the variant I'm just sort of thinking, like, if you were to think about it logically, that's what you could say, because you're right, they both have equal powers, but perhaps this Wanda is less powerful. And that's why I was saying, for me also, the element of Wanda being so overpowered, yes, she's got the Darkhold and everything, but like you said, she becomes the villain and the main character in a story that's not her main character, so it just distracts from what we're supposed to actually be seeing. So even when Doctor Strange comes in and wins, it was just like, oh gosh, I just didn't get it. I was like, whatever. And I think for me, it's also because when Loki was introduced as a villain in Thor, he was a villain outright, and yes, he had a redemption arc, but I had been always thinking of Wanda being a goodish guy, because she'd been that way. Like, yes, she was what, in Avengers 2 she was being used by Ultron or something, but that was because she was misguided in what who she thought was wrong, and then she sort of turned to the light. So like you said, I was still on Wanda from Endgame rather than Wanda from WandaVision, the end of WandaVision. So it was like trying to merge this, but now I understand what you said. I'll actually go back to the last two episodes of WandaVision to sort of watch how she gets that book or whatever, and then make it make sense. But although I should say, I didn't realize that the something Rambo, the black lady,
Monica Rambeau.
Monica, I didn't realize her mom was like Lashana Lynch's character, who's like the Captain Marvel variant in the Other Earth. I did not realize that was the connection there, but I was like, okay, cool. But also wanted to ask you, why is there no another in these other multiverses, assuming that, you know, characters die in one multiverse but they don't die in the other multiverse, why is there no Vision? Because someone brought this up, and
no.
I was like,
no.
Okay, why like not?
Maybe, I feel like maybe Vision is because Vision was created by Tony, and it could have been like a matter of Tony making one decision over the other. So I feel like maybe the alternate Tonys didn't decide to do that.
Okay,
but you see how Ultron, the Ultron robot.
That's what I was going to say, though.
Yeah.
Because
so what would have happened there? Someone
did say as well, by someone, I just mean this one reviewer that I pretty much got most of these points from. She did say, because obviously they referenced the Baxter Foundation, which is probably the Baxter building in like the Fantastic Four universe, where Reed Richards works and stuff. And he's like the smartest man alive or whatever. So he might have been the one that created Ultron. But if there could be an Ultron, then logic might mean that there might be a Vision. I don't know. But anyway, I don't know. It was just a thought. And I just thought,
you know, that is a very interesting question. Why did she not go and try to rescue all of her family? But you're also thinking the Mind Stone thing, element as well, like how far, because are they true parallels of other universes?
But then Thanos was in this universe. They had to destroy Thanos.
No, so what I'm saying is the other universes, other dimensions, are they true parallels of the universe?
That okay. Well, that I don't know.
Where this other Earth, because yes, the Earth that they go to where they're dealing with the Illuminati, yes, they've fought Thanos in that one. And in this one, it's Doctor Strange that dies. So where is Tony? Where are the rest of the other ones? Where's the rest of the squad?
Yeah.
Do they not... do their iterations not just exist in that universe, or are they different, or what is it?
Yeah. I think it's more so that they're different in the sense that, yeah, they probably are just, I don't know. But anyway, all I know is I'm looking forward to the next installment, whatever that may be in the MCU. Yes. But I'm also very much a bit less interested right now, I think, to be like, what's the next connection? Because I'm like, this one didn't really do much for me. But I'll see when I rewatch it on Disney Plus.
Have you watched Morbius?
No, I don't think I'll ever watch that movie.
Because I think that will connect with the ending of Eternals. Because that's vampire-like, right? And that's what's taking me out, because I'm so used to there being superheroes or vigilantes and stuff like that.
But Blade was a vampire.
You know what? I only learned a couple of years ago that Blade was in Marvel.
But I think we limit superhero movies as if they are Marvel. Marvel is more than just superheroes. It's Preacher, who's like I think Preacher might be DC. But anyway, Constantine is a demon hunter in DC, or demon. What is he? He's a demon hunter?
Yes, you're not demon hunter. There's something about demons and stuff like that.
But he is a non-traditional superhero. That's sort of how Marvel also is. And I get
expect that from DC. I don't know. It doesn't.
But that's the thing. That's why the Illuminati is a out of left field for us, because we don't read comics. But it's there. I actually then started seeing, I was like, oh, okay, that's a thing. So we just a matter of us maybe leaning too much into superheroes rather than Marvel having other properties that we just don't.
It's going to be a journey for sure, getting used to this.
Especially for me, I'm thinking, how are they going to do Black Panther with the way Letitia Wright and her drama? And obviously, that's a project that I don't want to know anything about. I'm not even going to probably watch the trailer. I'm just going to go in wanting to know.
I'm scared, considering how... The thing is, Black Panther 1 did so well. Mm. Like, it did so well. So that the other elements of Chadwick not being there, or how much he would have filmed or provided for this film before he passed away, or not at all. And yeah, I mean, one part looking forward to it, and when other part, I'm kind of worried that it's not going to be as awesome as it was. Mm. You know that Okoye, Danai Gurira's character, is going to have also a Marvel TV show as well.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. If oh, really? Okay, I didn't know that.
Not real people. This, in actual word, life. Well, whatever. You know what I mean. But lastly, how would you rate this movie?
I don't know how old Ray is.
Did you hear that laugh?
Because I think if you remember, I recall in this conversation, I just said, I don't know how I would even rate it. So I don't know how old Ray is, but I would say,
and now I'm asking you,
six out of 10. A 6 out of 10. Because 7 is too generous. 5 is too much of a, it's bad. But 6 for me sits where it says, it could have been, but it wasn't.
For me, 7 out of 10.
Okay. Well, not if I mean,
I'm proud of myself. I'm proud of myself.
Why?
I'm like, Audrey's gonna beat me down with logic and it's gonna be awesome. And I'm gonna have to say yes.
No, I wasn't wanting you to agree. Eternals was a different experience because I think for you,
I wasn't gonna not agree if you're making logical points. Like I did,
oh, so you're trying to say I wasn't making logical points?
No, then? No. I'm saying you were. I did agree with you for some of the things, definitely. But with Eternals, like, I went in there, oh. I enjoyed it. It was so good. And then now I'm like, I don't know if it was because did we record it as soon as we finished watching it?
I think it was relatively close to when we
and
watched
it. I think
it.
I was ready, and clearly, hey.
But you come into these, I feel like you come into these reviews as like a battle of the wheels. It's not like battle of wheels where like one has to try. No, you're just offering, because this is the thing, right? We want our audience to have an unbiased view of us, not just saying, oh, I love the movie. I love the movie. Because you don't have to love the movie. We're not, you know, Graham Norton having celebrity guests and he has to appease them. We're just saying our honest opinion.
That's like, I went in saying I love it, but I could not name one thing that I actually loved, and I could not be like, you know.
You're still talking about Eternals, yeah? But no, I think, to be honest, Doctor Strange, it wasn't terrible or anything. To anyone that wants to go and watch it, who hasn't watched it or wants to rewatch it, obviously you're allowed to watch it. I think I'm more questioning how some of these projects, when they're getting made, because so many people get involved, and then you've got the studio control, and you know, a lot of elements are like, how, what can we do that gets like a lot of, like, you know, maybe,
and they have a testing audience. I can't remember what it's called. And then they go back to the drawing board again. Maybe that testing audience wasn't, like, you know, didn't speak for the...
Yeah, but I don't actually know how much sway test audiences have anymore, to be honest. Because there's some movies that get released and you're like, that was there anyone else that watched this before we went out? Because, but no, Doctor Strange wasn't like that. It was more a fun... Because Sam Raimi, being Spider-Man trilogy director, if you noted, Spider-Man 3... this movie, to be honest, kind of gave me that vibe of like a movie where you could see what they were trying to do with Spider-Man 3, but it just ended up being all these things. So I think that's...
I don't even remember Spider-Man 3. Did it do the ones with...
Tobey Maguire.
Maguire.
That's the one. Okay. Sam Raimi is the one that did the Tobey Maguire trilogy. So when I say Spider-Man, I'm just talking about the original one, not like the Tom Holland ones. But either way, I enjoyed it. So yeah, I think we can wrap up there. And unless you have any other thoughts about what's to come and... Okay, all good. So that's it for The Story Never Ends. We'll meet you guys next time. What movie will we be watching, actually?
I don't know, but probably what will come off. Oh, we need to watch Downton Abbey. We still haven't watched it. That's still in cinema.
Oh, yeah, that's something we can definitely review. So, yes, we'll catch you next time, maybe for Downton Abbey. Otherwise, that's it from us.